Genesis chapter 12. And I want to speak a little bit about a man called Abraham. So we are speaking particularly to the young people who may be listening in today. I know there's a few there in Great Falls. I know there's a number in different places also. And there's a few here with me today also, as you know from the singing. So this is thinking today about Abraham, and particularly about the call of Abraham. Abraham has been called the father of the faithful, and it's a lovely name that he has. He is spoken of with great respect throughout the Bible. And when we first meet him, his name is not Abraham, but Abram. Abram. And Abram means exalted father. Later on in his life, the Lord gives him a new name, which is Abraham. And that means the father of many nations. And Abraham is spoken of in the New Testament as the father of all who believe. So even although he may not be our natural father or grandfather or great-great-great-great-grandfather, nevertheless, there is a spiritual link because he is the father of all who believe. Paul calls him that. And therefore, he has spiritual children from amongst every nation and kindred and tongue and people upon the face of this earth. Abraham is a man whose history we should know from an early age. So I propose to spend a number of weeks opening up some of the aspects of the life of this great man, Abraham, for the children and the young people particularly, but also for others of us who might benefit from rehearing some of the things about Abraham and his life. We first hear of Abraham, and I will use his new name as I speak all the time, because that is how the New Testament does it as well. Even although they're speaking about him when he was called Abram, they call him Abraham. And the first thing we hear of Abraham is in Genesis chapter 11 and verse 27. So it's right at the very beginning of the Bible, as it were. Here is this man, Abraham. And we learn there that his father is called Terah, and that he has two brothers, a man called Nahor and a man called Haran. They live in Ur, which is a city in Chaldea. It is called Ur of the Chaldees. And I have a little map which I can show you, which is here. So for those of you who are who like to see these little maps, this is showing us a map of the ancient world. And as you can see in the bottom right hand corner there, it speaks about the journeys of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. We're only interested in Abraham at the moment, not his son or his grandson. But there in the right hand corner, you can see Ur in Chaldea. And that picture actually is quite interesting, because you can see the green crescent, and that's called the Fertile Crescent. And that is recognized as the one of the early cradles of civilization. This was a very important part of the world because it was very fruitful, and it was where farming began and where cities were first formed and founded, and lots of technological things happened in that Fertile Crescent, which is there. It covers quite a lot of nations are there. We know, for example, that it covers Iraq and Syria, Lebanon, Palestine, Israel, Jordan, Egypt, some parts of Turkey and Iran, and even the island of Cyprus is sometimes brought into it as well. So right down there in that corner, that right-hand corner, is where Ur of the Chaldees is thought to have been. It's always a little bit uncertain in these matters whether we're looking at exactly the right place, but we think that Ur of the Chaldees was there, and then this Fertile Crescent was there sort of geographically, and it seems as if that Abraham went all the way up, so he's following this red line from Ur of the Chaldees up through Babylon, all the way up along the Euphrates River to Haran, right at the top centre there. And then he goes back down the other side of the Green Crescent, and that's him dropping into Canaan. So that's the area. This big part in the middle was a desert land, and this is the area in which Abraham was living, and the journey that he made to go from Ur of the Chaldees via Haran down into Canaan, which was the land that God had spoken to him about. So that's just to give us a little bit of a picture and allow us to see some things with respect to the journey that he went on. He had been born in Ur of the Chaldees, and it seems as if his brother Haran died there before Abraham left that city. And he left a son called Lot. So Abraham had a nephew called Lot. And Terah, his father, together with Lot and Sarai, his wife, Abraham, they all left Ur of the Chaldees and they travelled to Haran. They moved to Haran, that's in Mesopotamia, modern-day Turkey, and there Terah, that's Abraham's father, died. So we're going to read in Genesis chapter 12, and we'll read from verse 1. Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Shechem, unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west, and Hai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. So what we can see here is that God called Abraham to leave his home and his family, and to follow him, to follow the Lord. And it's interesting, I wonder if you saw there, that Abraham was in his 70s, at least 75, we are told here, when God appeared to him. You know, it's a wonderful thing when God appears to old people and gives them faith to follow him, despite their age and being so set in their ways. If ever you hear about an old person being converted, that I think is one of the greatest evidences of sovereign grace that you can possibly have. It's lovely when young people get converted, but it's good to see old people having the Lord appear to them also. And Abraham was 75 years of age. Stephen, the first martyr, he spoke of Abraham's call. And so does the writer to the Hebrews in chapter 11, verse 8, because we're told there that by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. Now, what's important about that little verse telling us there's something of the history of Abraham is that the writer to the Hebrews tells us by divine inspiration that Abraham was a believer. Abraham had faith. He left. He went out by faith. These New Testament references give us important information by which to understand the Old Testament histories and narratives. We know Abraham was a man of faith. He believed in the one true God. Now, this may have been through the preaching and teaching of Noah and Noah's legacy, but also personal knowledge, because God had appeared to Abraham personally and God had spoken to Abraham personally. Abraham knew that God must be worshipped, and he knew that true worship required a blood offering. And he knew also that despite the practical aspects of the altar and the offering, that he had to look beyond the sacrifice to see the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. So everywhere that Abraham went, he built an altar and he worshipped God. Not simply by ritual, but in spirit and in truth, because he was a man of faith and he saw Jesus in the types and in the pictures, even although it was so many years before the Lord actually came. Because verse 8 tells us something important also. It says he called upon the name of the Lord. Abraham called upon the Lord for help. He called upon the name of the Lord for mercies, for direction, for protection. But we can also read that little phrase another way. He called in the name of the Lord. He called to God in the name of Jesus Christ, his mediator. Now, I'm not saying that he necessarily knew as much as we know about the Lord Jesus Christ now, as far as names and ways to address him and the things that Jesus did was concerned. But yet that root of faith was present, and he called in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to God, seeking the blessings upon the grounds of grace in the name of the Son of God, the mediator and intercessor. And God gave Abraham promises. He gave him promises concerning the land of Canaan, that his seed would inherit it, his children would inherit that land. He gave him promises concerning fathering many nations. And yet Abraham, we're told, didn't have any children. Here was a man who was now more than 75 years old, and God was telling him that he would be the father of many nations. It seems quite strange. It seems quite impossible that that would be the case. And yet Abraham continued to trust the Lord, though there was no immediate evidence by which means the promise could be fulfilled. And that's important, because that reminds us that this is the essence of faith. If we can see how something is going to be achieved, if we can see how it's going to be done and how it's going to be worked out, that's not faith. Faith is trusting the things that we can't see. Now, these promises that God had given to Abraham were indeed fulfilled. They were fulfilled naturally in that Abraham did have a son in his old age called Isaac. And so his own children, Ishmael and Isaac, they gave birth to nations who sprang from them. And they did possess the promised land. But most importantly, the promise was fulfilled through the example he gives to all of God's children who, like Abraham, are called to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and brought into faith in Christ and call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for grace and mercy and help in time of need. So, as we begin thinking about Abraham, as we get to say hello to this man for the first time, we'll remember that he was a man of faith, a man who was called of God to go out in faith, and a man who was obedient to that call and trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ and worshipped God in spirit and in truth. And may the Lord teach us to have faith like Abraham, the father of all who believe. And may the Holy Spirit call us to follow where Christ leads. And may we, like Abraham, know what it is to worship the Lord God in spirit and in truth. Amen.